So we are responsible to hear God as leaders. We are responsible to hear what God is saying. And then we are also responsible to expect that the members of our community that God has sent us to as leaders, that leadership is a gift to people. It's not a controlling or a manipulating thing. It's a responsibility to lead, to set an example, to cause the body to grow up. And so we accept the responsibility of hearing God, but then we also empower those in our community to hear God as well, to walk out what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's a corporate letter. So we're going to continue on here with generational leadership, and we are in the chapter 5, I believe it is, on the spiritual letter in the book, and it's also on page 10 of your workbook. We've been going through this spiritual letter, and I've mentioned that every expression, at least something that I'm going to lead, is going to be a written letter in my heart and a written letter in the hearts of people, a corporate expression, individual and corporate expression of what the Holy Spirit is doing. And so I shared my testimony of God told me at the beginning of Abundant Life, when I pioneered Abundant Life, which I led for 20 years, that it was to be Abundant Life, but it would be a spiritual letter that God would write. And so I want to talk about that and look at some of the practicals of how that looked for me. And I'm not trying to get you to embrace my method, my form, but I would encourage you and challenge you to consider this principle, consider this reality. This is a non-negotiable for me. Maybe it's a almost non-negotiable for you. Maybe it'll somehow inspire you to grab what is your non-negotiable. And so on page 11 of the workbook, we've got some diagrams. And you can see that also here in the PowerPoint as it's injected into this teaching. And so we have a circle here, and you notice in the middle of the circle it says saints, or a group of people separated unto God for his purpose. And then there's a circle around that circle, and that circle is Jesus Christ in relationship with each and every saint or each and every believer. So I'm going to call this a spiritual letter. What God does is he takes a circle of people, a community, a come to unity, come to union, a community, a circle, an oikos in the Greek, a place of relationship that's connected in relationship with one another and relationship also with Jesus Christ. So I don't know how to illustrate this any better than this, just a circle in a circle. And they're enjoying this fellowship with Jesus. So picture this as like a small group or a larger church or whatever. Picture it as a group of people in relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the basics of a spiritual letter being written. Then the next illustration, I've taken this same inner circle, and there's no outer circle. We'll just assume that the outer circle is everywhere there. Everyone's in relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we have a body of believers in Christ, and they are meant to become God's written letter of the Spirit. And so they're in relationship with Jesus Christ as the head of all. Jesus Christ is the head of the pastor. Jesus Christ is the head of the leadership team that's joined with that pastor. Jesus Christ is the head of every member of that church community. And then God appoints a leader. God sends a leader. So you see a little circle on the right hand with an arrow pointing to the right, which says vision toward corporate purpose. In other words, God picks a man or a woman that can see what God sees. Because people, this is not that they're better than people, but God is going to pick somebody who is a visionary, somebody who is able to see, to be a leader, to be the first among all of them, to see, to embrace, to hear what is not naturally seen. And so he appoints a leader, and that leader has a vision. You don't have to be a visionary to be that leader. You just have to be appointed by God to be the leader. And so I'm putting that little circle. And so I'm putting it in the circle, but out of the circle. Why? Not to make that leader better than or different than those members, but to make that leader able to see something more than what's just in the circle at any given time. So in other words, always there's something beyond that. And so you see this other arrow down here that leader is corporate purpose and direction, influencing the world of tomorrow. And so this is the basics of a letter being written. On page 12 of our workbook, I've put an illustration there, some past illustrations of leadership. I've been a believer here for 46 years, and when I first became a believer, I remember illustrations of leadership. And there was the triangle, the pyramid, the leader on the top, the people underneath. And I remember the great revolution in the church was, that's not right. Let's put the leader on the bottom and the people on the top. So we inverted the triangle. And basically what you get with that, you have a servant principle, that circle underneath, leader, people on top, leader coming under the people to serve them instead of a leader over the people serving the leader. I think there's a truth in that, and a principle in that that's valuable, that we're here to serve, not to lord. But I don't believe that that particular form can cause us to become the spiritual letter that God has called us to be. And so Abundant Life Church, as I led it for 20 years, had a different form. And so this is how I see it. So now we come to this next circle. The circle is the same circle that I've been presenting. Now it gets a little more complicated. And now I still believe in this. I would inspire this to be. I would never force this on you. But if I was pioneering a church right now, this is the form that I would use, the principle of this for sure. And so the principle is there's a circle. So you see the inner blue circle there, which is believers or saints, set apart ones. Saints simply means separated ones onto God's purpose, onto God's will, onto becoming something that's an expression being written by the Spirit. And then you have this God-appointed leader is that same circle that was in the previous illustration, God-appointed leader. But now, right just behind that appointed leader, I have ruling elders or bishops, which are just words that aren't really, bishop is not really a translated word, it's a transliterated word. A ruling elder, a ruling mature ones, leaders who have an ability to lead. They have different giftings. It's like that spear illustration we showed in a previous lesson, where is the leaders come along with cutting edge behind the pointed leader to bring each their grace gift. So I'm calling these apt to teach or apt to lead, apt to set direction, apt to hear. And they are right behind that leader. Now, they're not equal in authority with the God-appointed leader. They're equal in corporate responsibility in the sense of they have the responsibility of leadership, but they're not equal in corporate responsibility of vision. If they were equal in responsibility of vision, then you see I have four circles there behind the one circle. If they were equal in corporate vision, then what you would have is you would have division in that team, which is two visions or three visions or four visions or five visions, because we got five people represented there or five couples, five teams, however you want to express it. But they're apt to teach. They're apt to set direction. So there's one that's, say, leader of leaders. That's the appointed leader. And then these others are the apt to teach leaders. I believe that God appoints people, men and women, who are able to see with different types of graces what hasn't been seen before, to become the spiritual letter before the people are becoming it, and as the people are becoming it, to set an example of what God is doing. So if the letter is abundant life, the God-appointed leader is going to embrace becoming generous and non-religious before anyone to become the life that Jesus came to give so that others can also see it. They can become it and they can walk in it, give that life to others. And then those apt to teach leaders embrace that same spirit. They're becoming it before others. Now, you see, there's another line behind here. It's called facilitative elders or deacons. Now, facilitative elders, I believe that the Bible, as I've studied Scripture, I've written another book called New Covenant Church Leadership. I think it's called New Covenant Church Leadership. I haven't really marketed it out. It's a PDF version, not a printed version. It's also a PDF linked index. And I surely can make that available to you if you would like it. But it was based on my master's thesis. It was New Covenant Church Government. New Covenant Leadership was my master's thesis. And I turned that into a book. And as I studied what was the form of leadership in the New Testament church, I discovered that the addressing of the church was always to the apostles, to the elders, to the saints. To the apostles, to the elders, to the saints. Or to the sending authorities, to the local appointed authorities and to the expressions of that life-giving authority. Notice I just translated those words into other language. So to the apostles, the sending authority, the authority that sends this thing, advances it, furthers it, to the elders, to those who facilitate that authority, release that letter, and to the believers, to the set apart ones for that corporate purpose, that corporate identity, corporate testimony, corporate purpose. And so as you study the book of Acts and the New Testament church letters, you'll find that salutation. You'll find to the apostles, to the elders, to the believers. Now, there's one place where it's different. It says to the apostles, to the bishops, to the deacons, to the saints. So it doesn't say to the apostles, to the elders, to the saints. It says to the apostles, to the bishops, the apt to teach leaders, and to the deacons, the facilitative leaders, and the saints. So elders, I believe, are both apt to teach, bishops, overseers, ruling elders, and deacons, apt to keep in motion what's been put in motion. And so I have those in my illustration. I believe that there are those who keep in motion what's been put in motion. They don't have a grace to hear what's new. They have a grace to hear how do we take what's new and make it work in this corporate body. Deacons is not a translated word. It means to serve. I'm deaconing right now. I'm teaching you. It means I'm deaconing. If you fell down on the floor and you spilled something and it made a mess and I came and cleaned up the floor and helped you get up, I would be deaconing. I would be serving. As I'm a husband to my wife, I'm deaconing. As I'm a father to my children or a grandfather to my grandchildren and serving them, just loving them, I'm deaconing. I'm serving them. I'm doing some work that serves them. Now, deaconing is to serve. Now, a deacon is someone who has a grace on their life to empower others, to envision others, to gather others, to draw others, to deacon, to serve. So if there are ruling elders who see what hasn't been seen before, they put in motion something that Holy Spirit is putting in motion, then there are other leaders who are also elders, mature of character, who keep in motion what's been put in motion. It's like a think tank level relationship. You've got the leadership hears God. This is the direction that God is saying we are going corporately. They're not hearing for anyone individually. They're hearing for corporate purpose. So this is where God is leading us in the corporate expression. And then we have others who say, well, yeah, we could do it this way. Oh, we could do it this way. We could do it this way. There are some leaders that then empower individuals to be involved in that. I believe that that's part of the letter that's being written. So that's in our illustration. Now, we come to the next page, the next illustration, and now the spiritual letter gets a little more complicated. And so we have the illustration here. Again, on the outside of this center circle, is Christ is the head of every individual. Christ is the head of the pastor, the leader, the sent leader. But notice now the circle has a couple of additions. You see on the right-hand side there, you have your God-appointed leader. And then there's another circle outside of that. And I've got some little purple circles connected to the center circle. And I call those apostles. And so, or sent authority. If you don't like the word apostle, sending authority. Somehow there's some authority that's not part of the corporate letter locally, but they're connected in relationship primarily with the sent leader. They would also have a relationship with the people, but their primary relationship is with the sent leader of that corporate community. So in my case, as the sent leader of Abundant Life for 20 years, I was in relationship with others, which included people in my own stream, Dr. Bob Nichols, John Marsden, Andrew Shearman, David Fredericks were in that outer circle connected to me, but then there were some other voices that were in that. Harold Eberle was a voice to me. Anthony Chapman was a voice in my life. Some come as prophets, some come as apostles, some come as encouraging voices that help me hear for my local expression and keep it connected in a vision that goes towards something that's not isolated. It goes towards something corporate. So I believe that every local church somehow has to be connected to external voices so that we don't get isolated, disconnected from something that is global. What is God doing globally that is true to the tribe that we are? God is doing something globally everywhere. If we don't have a sent leader that articulates the global sound that this tribe is connected to, then the members of the tribe become connected to many global leaders, and by default, we create division. We create division, multiple visions in a corporate house, and we don't have a corporate letter. We have many letters being written. That's confusion. That's chaos. And so that's why it's important to seek out from among your tribes the place that God chooses his name to abide for you. What is God wanting to do with your life? You don't just shop and find a place that meets your needs. You'll be sent by God to become part of something that's a corporate expression.